Welcome to Creative Disturbance.
Rencontre avec.
Meeting.
Meeting.
My name is Yuri Karpan, and I am art director and senior curator at Kapelica Gallery in Ljubljana since 20 years, since its inception.
Could you introduce, generally speaking, what is your vision?
Well, we call this gallery a gallery for contemporary investigative arts. And almost since the beginning, we were very much interested into artworks that are posing and that are opening difficult questions. Questions that can't be answered differently than by engaging with the problem on an artistic way. So we created situations, together with artists, of course, where the visitors could interfere, interact, participate in spinning the artwork so that it produced certain meanings. Now, we never exhibited paintings, sculptures, you know, pure aesthetical beauty objects, but rather installations and the most powerful productions we have made were performances, because I see performance as a very powerful way to address audience, because in the structure of performances that you sharing the space and the floor with the artist, you take certain part of responsibility, because you are not only a visitor, you are a witness of what is happening. Many times audience reacted really strongly, because they felt addressed directly.
Just me. I'm an artist.
This was last 2 days, September the 10th and 11th, 2015. You have hosted Scotto Pugliese's Confronting Vegetal Otherness, which is a performance by Spela Petrich, as part of a Trust Me, I'm an Artist project. And if I describe it in a very brutal way, during 2 days she stood in front of growing cress and a shadow, I mean, a body casting a shadow over the portion of a cress and interfering with a plant growth, and as part as a plant-human, what she calls intercognition. So how do you consider this performance as an aesthetical creation within what you have already supported here at the Kapelica?
Spela enter a field that is so alien to our perspective that without creating a certain language with which you can describe what is happening right there, what she's doing, what she's going after, what is her metaphysical interest, you need to develop series of intermediate artworks and create that language, that pool of signifiers with which you can describe what is going on, since the language of plants is so radically different from ours. And at the beginning, she wanted to stage a performance which would be much more direct and kind of spectacular. But during the investigation that took 1 year time at WAG in Amsterdam, collaborating with different institutions, She decided to scale down the performance, to split it into several steps in order to be able to create this language. Also to provide us proper entries into the field so that we would not just oversimplify it and took for granted our attitude to our plants, because we are so profoundly alienated from plants. They are really radical otherness that we don't have, according to Spela, proper attitude toward them. Only by following her preparations for the performances, I learned, for example, that in Swiss, they issued a law with dealing with ethics of plants. And I got in contact with like names like Michael Marder, who is going to participate in the debate, who is plant ethicist. Personally, I see it as a challenge for everyone to rethink our system of values that we are living in, and also our personal system of beliefs, and to adjust the perspective through Spela's work.
In this performance, do you think that, how do you see us as an audience?
Well, like with all endurance performances, you have more chance to understand what is going on if you are there. And this is challenge for audience. She was standing yesterday for 12 hours. And if you are there for more than 2 hours, sitting there and trying to figure out what is going on, you would fall in a proper mode, because she is now assuming the language of plants. She's trying to communicate with plants, to establish this intercognition by using their pace, their rhythm. If you insist to be there for all 5 or more hours, you know, the effect on you is completely different. Now, if you're just going in and out, it's very difficult to understand. And at the end, you will see the result.
What is your point of view about the ethics in this piece?
Well, at the beginning I was a little bit frustrated, no? Because this piece is not radical at all, and it is not creating a difficult situation where you would need to really work out, you know, why and how and where does it lead. But by doing so, Spela is questioning the whole field of Western ethics, where the plants are not considered at all. Well, so you have, for example, all these animal protectors, and who is saying, well, we shouldn't eat animals because they feel, they think, they react, they communicate. No? They are intellectual creatures. We should eat plants. Well, if you are, you know, really strict and you go reductio ad absurdum, you go to the end, you should admit that plants have their life too, and that you need to consider, you know, their suffering and their cognitive being as well. And this is what is going to be the issue in the talk between the ethicists that we invited and created ad hoc ethical commission. We are not going to talk about Spela's performance. However, her work induces us into the field, and we will try to speculate about Western ethics in general. Of course, we should eat plants, because there is no other alternative, because even if we eat animals, we eat plants, because animals eat plants. But it's the consciousness that we need to create on the plants, because all this overpopulation and hunger and industrial production of farming has to deal with a capitalistic way of production. It is not a question of eating or not. And by creating consciousness of what we are eating now, we create a chance for the plants in the future. Well, these are the words of Michael Marder, no? Because by selecting, by knowing from where these plants are coming, you know, then we can choose between the one which is coming from hydroponic culture, or one which is coming from permaculture. And this is the chance for the future, you know, because we are going to, in order to achieve like better life, you know, better conditions, and speculate about our environment, we would of course sustain ethically better plant growing.
You said that this performance was not ultra challenging, but generally speaking, as a curator at the Capriccia, you have been involved in very strong, challenging works. And how do you consider your responsibility both toward the artist and the audience?
Responsibility is key here. And of course, we were able to do these radical artworks to produce or co-produce this ethical radical artwork because we did everything necessary that the message of the artwork was protected. So, for example, by producing work of Oleg Kulik with Dog, we decided to move the performance and did it 1 hour before because we understood from the public reaction that there are going to be such an audience that never came to Kapelica, and that the performance will be unable to the performer will be unable to execute his performance. So we did it before, and we call our regular audiences who are on our mailing list. We didn't get them many because it was on short notice, but we get them. So it was public performance, and 1 hour after, there was a stampede of the people who are very probably first time in Kapelica, you know, and there was not even enough place in the floor to do the performance. So we just showed the documentation. Of course, audience was outraged, but you know, we did everything that the message was saved. Because we know that these performances are difficult to understand. You know? We provide audience several possible entrances and intros before presenting the artists, art talks, writings, workshops, and so on. You know? So this periphery that we are creating around the artwork is equally important. Considering responsibility in doing these artworks, I believe is very important because otherwise we will claim and use a rather escapistic way of defending difficult artworks, calling for art autonomy. You know, like artists can do because they are artists. No? But this way you are creating a kind of ivory tower where the message cannot be spread, really. You know, the people who are already opinionated are getting their entertainment. On the other side, the people who are outside, they say, oh, those mad, crazy artists, they are doing it because they are artists. And the message does not penetrate to the society. While in our case, we never say that we do this because artists autonomous, and if there is a lawsuit, and so we appear, we go there, you know, we defend artwork publicly. We consider this as a part of curatorial and artistic strategy, so this way we are able to reach more people. And also by explaining it, you create a discourse, you create arguments, otherwise you'll just get the a priori judgments.
Yeah, and the headlines.
Yes.
Trust me. I'm an artist.
But do you think it's more difficult ethically wise when it deals with living organism bio art as compared to other kind of performances or not? Or is it the same?
Theoretically, and from the point of from the ethical point of view, they should be considered equally. Culturally, of course, you know, when we have a situation of shooting to a person, you know, it's completely different than when we cut a branch of a tree. But, you know, we are trying to pull out all these moments of consideration to really bold them, you know, to underline them, because we would like that this Zoe, you know, the life which is common to all living beings, you know, becomes a better platform to understand what would be a better position of humans in the biotope of everything living, we are living it, and not of on the top of everything. So all these different artworks are kind of equipping us with signifiers, with insights, with sayings, you know, that is providing us a different insight, a different understanding of nature, you know, so that we don't just use it and instrumentalize it, but that we, when doing that we do this with certain attitude, which is not mere functionalistic. No? Because as we know, functionalism brought us where we are now.
How do you consider the evolution and the growing interest in art-science collaboration?
Well, we are more into ethics, no? We're more into, not in aesthetics, more into ethics and more into poetics. Because as in the discourse of aesthetics, the ultimate beauty is an ideal and you can never achieve, no? And all the artworks is bearing with them this poetic of impossibility to get there, you know, to this ideal beauty. You have on the other side the same situation, you know, you can never achieve the absolute truth, and ethics is the vehicle here. So you have this impossibility, the poetic of impossibility of getting there, you know, and knowing who we are, where we are coming from, where we are going, you know, and this is where we are sticking fingers in. We consider science almost as a natural condition, because scientists and then technologies and then the industry reshaped our society profoundly. And this is the Umwelt. We are not questioning as such. However, we try to understand the principles according to which science, technologies and industry is functioning. And the artworks that we're presenting here, they acknowledge tools, protocols, materials that scientists are using, and express their poetics with the same protocols, materials, and knowledge. I don't call against classic traditional art forms. They are more than necessary to address the basic attitude toward aesthetics and toward the visual language and audible language and haptic and dramaturgical. But of course, there is something more what is happening right now. No, we are changing our world on molecular level. And this is what we would like to bring it out. No, and if you want to have a proper resolution, you know, to see these things, you need to use a proper decoder, no? And we are trying to develop all these things so that you can decipher, decode what is going on. It's a different language. It's not a visual language as you would stand in front of a painting. It's not of pure knowledge like you would go in a laboratory and a scientist will explain you. It's behind your rational capability. It's like Chlebnikov is saying, zaumno. It's behind your brain, your mind. However you fill it with all your senses together. Ideally, this is the artwork we are going after.
Des pastilles, ear, à sucer pour l'oreille, candy.